From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled God Above Human Philosophy. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This verse is a threatening so far as the worldly wise are concerned, but to the simple believer it is a promise. The professedly learned are forever trying to bring to nothing the faith of the humble believer, but they fail in their attempts. Their arguments break down, their theories fall under their own weight, their deep-laid plots discover themselves before their purpose is accomplished. The old gospel is not extinct yet, nor will it be while the Lord liveth. If it could have been exterminated, it would have perished from off the earth long ago. We cannot destroy the wisdom of the wise, nor need we attempt it, for the work is in far better hands. The Lord Himself says, I will, and He never resolves in vain. Twice does He, in this verse, declare His purpose, and we may rest assured that He will not turn aside from it. What clean work the Lord makes of philosophy and modern thought when He puts His hand to it! He brings the fine appearance down to nothing. He utterly destroys the wood, hay, and stubble. It is written that so it shall be. And so shall it be. Lord, make short work of it. Amen and amen.
Oh,
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of the gospel in a nutshell. The text is chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. With the words, but now, in verse 21, Paul began to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to his righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the just wrath of God fell as he hung on the cross as the substitute for guilty sinners. This is the essence of the gospel Paul had experienced, and which he preached all over the then-known world. It is the only message that provides the solution to man's sin and guilt. We see here also that it is the gospel for all kinds of men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Extent and Efficacy of the Gospel.
Tonight we're back to Romans chapter 3. Last week we read verses 21 through 31. We're going to read that portion again. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, reading to the end of the chapter. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word for his name's sake. Some years ago, an Englishman was ploughing his field, and in doing so he unearthed a very considerable treasure in rare and ancient Roman coins. The Times of London reported that story, and it used the story to indulge itself a little in what was almost poetic imagining of the people through history who had walked on that field. The idea was it would take all these different characters and describe how they had walked over this very ground with this great treasure under their feet. And yet, they were unaware of what they were walking upon. I think that story is a fair illustration of what happens usually to the book of Romans, and particularly to this passage in chapter 3, 21 to the end. Here we come to a field that has been read, field of scripture that has been memorized, walked upon again and again and again. And yet how infrequently do we really stop to plow deep, to try to unearth the treasure that is here? Because in this passage of scripture there is treasure. Treasure far more than coins of Rome or of any other nation. Treasure far more than money can buy or man can compute. Here I think you have what you could call the Magna Carta of Christianity. You could say that about the whole book of Romans. But here in chapter 3, 21 to the end, the apostle is expounding in depth the gospel according to Paul. He has given us his theme. The theme in chapter 1 verse 17 is that in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just by faith shall live. That's his theme. The righteousness of God revealed for the salvation of the believer in Jesus Christ. He shows the need of that salvation in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and the first part of chapter 3. Now, at verse 21, he gets right into the exposition of the gospel that meets the need. He has already shown that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He has shown how that the Gentile nations are under the wrath of a holy God. How the Jewish nation is under the wrath of a holy God. How that the religious and the irreligious are likewise under the wrath of a holy God and under the curse of a broken law. Now he comes to tell God's answer for man's sin, God's remedy for the curse that has fallen by sin upon the human race. Here is his great exposition of the gospel. Here is Paul's divinely inspired answer to man's need. I am tempted, though I daren't give in to it, but I am tempted to take time to point out what the answer isn't. It's very important to recognize where the answer is not. Men are always prone to look in the wrong place for the answer to the needs of their soul. You remember when Naaman the leper was told that there was a prophet in Israel who could cure him of his leprosy? You remember that he went to his master, the king of Syria, who immediately wrote out a royal letter and sent it to the king in Israel. And Naaman came up to the door of the king's palace and he presented this letter. And the king of Israel threw up his hands in horror. How can I cure this man of his leprosy? There's no way. Down through the centuries of time, people have made a habit of going to the wrong place for the answer to the needs of their soul. Paul does not say a word about the rubbish that is filling the pulpits of Protestantism today, the rubbish of positive thinking, getting a good image of yourself. That's not the answer. Paul does not say a word about the rubbish of sacramentalism, that your baptism or your getting to the table or any other thing that the church can do to you or for you is the answer. It's significant that the apostle does not point us to priest or pope or preacher or church, but he points us to the provision that God has made in the person and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is God's answer. And as Paul begins to expound this great answer that God has given for man's sin, he shows us more about the righteousness of God. I need to emphasize that while there are places where that indicates the divine attribute of righteousness or justice, typically here in Romans, that righteousness of God means the righteousness that God provides for the saving of sinners. What some have called his saving righteousness. Last week I pointed out this great doctrine that Paul is here expounding, that God righteously justifies sinners. Now that seems to be a contradiction in terms. He takes it up again in the fourth chapter when he speaks of God justifying the ungodly. Human religion, be it Roman Catholic or Protestant or Muslim or Hindu or anything else, knows only a justification of the righteous. People who make themselves righteous, and on the ground of what they have made themselves, they are somehow or other acceptable to God. It's not the gospel. It's the very antithesis of the gospel. God justifies the ungodly. He justifies sinners. But the beauty of this passage is that God does that righteously. That seems a contradiction in terms. As Paul says, he is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. God, therefore, has this way of salvation whereby he righteously justifies sinners. And he does it, and here are two very important words, by graciously. The second word is gratuitously, providing them with a perfect righteousness that he presents as a gift, a righteousness worked out by Jesus Christ, culminating in his death upon the cross. He gives them that righteousness as a gift, and they receive it by faith alone in the merits of Christ and his atoning sacrifice. That's the salvation of God. And when God does this, he demonstrates his justice and his mercy. As the psalmist says in the 85th Psalm, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Here is justice in tandem with mercy. And as God does this, Paul says, he silences the pride of man and establishes the law of God. Now that's the doctrine. Last week we looked at the essence of this gospel, the righteousness which is apart from the works of the law. How God brings us to the place of establishing us, as the preacher said this morning, in such a standing that we stand before God as righteous as Jesus Christ is. Just think of that. God takes an ungodly wretch, a foul and filthy, hell-deserving sinner, and he places him before the judgment bar of heaven. And such is the miracle of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, such is the clothing of that sinner with the garments of Christ's righteousness, that with that righteousness upon him, in union with Christ, that man is no longer condemned, but accepted in the Beloved, and accepted as the Beloved. That is the very essence of the gospel. Now, I have preached that to some extent last Lord's Day evening, and through this series in Romans, I have come back to that again and again and again and again. And I'm loath to go on to leave it behind, because this is the key first to the freedom from guilt that so afflicts many souls. This is more than a come to Jesus and he'll make you feel better gospel. This is more than some little theory of man that comes and tickles your feeling for a moment. This is something that goes to the very heart, the depths of the need of the souls of men. We are afflicted by guilt because of sin. We're alienated from God by wicked works. We are under curse and condemnation by nature. We need something more than a band-aid. We need something that will give us, on divine authority, a certainty of a new standing with God. That's what the gospel is all about, the essence of the gospel. It's the story of God providing us with a perfect righteousness that will stand the test of the judgment day, that will give you peace of mind, peace of conscience, that will silence the attack of the devil.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.